From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled The Victory of the Cross, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning, by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. If the disposal of the lot is the Lord's, whose is the arrangement of our whole life? If the simple casting of a lot is guided by Him, how much more the events of our entire life, especially when we are told by our blessed Savior, the very hairs of your head are all numbered, not a sparrow falleth to the ground without your Father. It would bring a holy calm over your mind, dear friend, if you were always to remember this. It would so relieve your mind from anxiety that you would be the better able to walk in patience, quiet, and cheerfulness as a Christian should. When a man is anxious, he cannot pray with faith. When he is troubled about the world, he cannot serve his master. His thoughts are serving himself. If you would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all things would then be added unto you. You are meddling with Christ's business and neglecting your own when you fret about your lot and circumstances. You have been trying providing work and forgetting that it is yours to obey. Be wise and attend to the obeying, and let Christ manage the providing. Come and survey your Father's storehouse, and ask whether He will let you starve while He has laid up so great an abundance in His garner. Look at His heart of mercy. See if that could ever prove unkind. Look at His inscrutable wisdom. See if that will ever be at fault. Above all, look up to Jesus Christ, your intercessor, and ask yourself, while He pleads, can your Father deal ungraciously with you? If He remembers even sparrows, will He forget one of the least of His poor children? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. My soul, rest happy in thy low estate, nor hope nor wish to be esteemed or great. To take the impress of the will divine, be that thy glory, and those riches thine.
Descend.
The angel said to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." From Let the Bible Speak, may you have a blessed and Christ-filled Christmas. Following the victory at Ai, Joshua performed two actions. First of all, he slew the king of Ai. Then he built an altar to the Lord on Mount Ebal. From these events, Dr. Cairns is showing what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. First of all, Christ defeated Satan there at the cross. This was the first step in the Savior's triumph, the breaking of the devil's power. At his second coming, Christ, the reverser of the curse, will cast the evil one into the lake of fire forever. Furthermore, through the victory of his cross, the Lord Jesus continues to defeat Satan by redeeming sinners from captivity to the devil and by sustaining saints in their spiritual warfare. It's true that God's people cannot always understand what God is doing in their lives, but they can be certain that the Lord is still able to make the wrath of men to praise him, and that all things do work together for good to them that love God. As we'll see today, through the victory of his cross, the Lord Jesus Christ will defeat Satan fully and forever. The call to believers is to live in the shadow of the cross. Now to conclude this message, the victory of the cross, here is Dr. Cairns.
We love to quote Romans 8:28, "We know that all things work together for good." That's a very comforting thought to God's people. There are times when you're in the darkness and you can't see beyond the end of your nose. You don't know what God is doing. You have to take very seriously that word of the Lord Jesus. What I do, you know not. What I'm now doing, you don't know, but you'll know hereafter. Those are hard parts of life to live. when you're going through life. And like Jacob, you tend to say, all these things are against me. When in reality, of course, if you only knew the end from the beginning, they're not against you, they're for you. All things work together for good. How often we have got to come back to that and say, Lord, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing. I don't even know what you're doing. I don't understand the purpose of God and all this. But I know that God is. And I know that all things work together for good to God's people. But too often God's people quote only that much of the verse. How do you know all things work together for good? Indeed, how do you know all things are working together? You look out in this world, and this world seems to be in chaos. That's what the evolutionary scientist wants you to believe, really. It's in chaos and utter randomness. That's what the liberal wants you to believe. That's what the humanist wants you to believe. So how on earth do we even know that all things are even working together? Never mind working together for our good. So what I'm trying to get over to you is this is not just whistling in the dark. This comes out of a much deeper theological persuasion. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called ones according to His purpose, because whom God foreknew, He predestinated. Whom God predestinated, He called. Whom God called, He justified. Whom God justified, He glorified. I want you to see that God is saying that in Jesus Christ, He has a great purpose. And that purpose is immutable. And it is unbeatable. The Lord Jesus is taking all the parts of this world and its happenings and its history. He's taking all the actions of angels and of devils, of saints and of sinners. And in His own inscrutable wisdom, He is making them all work together to serve His purpose. As He says through the psalmist, even the wrath of man will praise Him. Even the bitterest hatred of His enemies will glorify Him. Even the darkest passages of shame introduced by Satan and his minions will yet issue forth in the great glory of our Redeemer. He is working all things after the counsel of His will. Now, I don't always understand that will. I don't always perceive that purpose. But you see, I don't have to. I am not God. I am not omniscient. For God even to seek to explain that mighty purpose to you or me, or to the greatest intellect the world has ever known, would be, as I have said many a time from this pulpit, it would be like Albert Einstein seeking to explain his theory of relativity to a one-day-old babe. We're not fit to understand the complexity of the purpose of God, but we are fit, bless God by grace, to say we know. We know. I don't know all that our Father is doing, but I know our Father. I don't know all that our Savior is working, but I know the Savior. That's the thing that really matters. Paul told the Ephesians that God created all things by the Lord Jesus Christ to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, listen, according to the eternal purpose which He hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a very deep verse. What I want you to understand is God's purpose is in Christ. All God is doing with angels, with devils, with the nations, with sinners, and with saints. All that God is doing, He is doing in relation to that purpose which He has in Christ. The Lord Jesus not only conquered Satan at Calvary, but in the fullness of that victory, He continues to defeat Satan in converting sinners, in the lives of His people, and in making all things serve His purpose. And finally, let me say that through the victory of the cross, Christ will defeat Satan fully and forever. Scripture has much to say about this. Time forbids we go through many of the passages, but I think of Paul speaking of the end time. The end times fascinate people. Naturally, I suppose. But there's more blether talked about the end times than almost any other subject. You have idiotic preachers getting up and they're setting one date for the coming of the Lord, then another date, then another date, then another date. Used to be it was the post-millennialists who were setting the year when Jesus would come. Now they seem to have learned a bit more sense. And so you have the premillennialists, and they're setting the dates. Now those of you who are amillennialists, don't get a big head, because you haven't made that mistake. You've just made a much bigger mistake. So, nobody has anything to be too proud of. In man's attempts to penetrate the veil of the end times. But Paul looked at those times and he said, then shall that wicked, that is that wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Paul tells us, when wickedness finds its greatest expression, when the seed of the serpent finally reaches its most diabolical manifestation, when Satan has his Messiah crowned king on the earth, then that wicked one will be revealed, and the Lord will destroy him with the brightness of His coming. I think of what John wrote in the book of the Revelation, 12, verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Again in chapter 20, at the beginning of the chapter, he says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And then again he goes on to describe, after 1,000 years, the ultimate and eternal demise of Satan's power. As Revelation 11 verse 15 puts it, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Listen, He shall reign forever and ever. Thus the victory of Christ extends through all time and through all eternity. But for you and me, the immediate thing to know is this victory which was wrought at Calvary, which continues to be worked out by God's grace in Christ, and which will issue in eternal glory, this victory extends to every Christian, and it extends to the whole Church of Christ. Let me explain that to you. For I want you to know this. If you're a Christian, it is not the will of God that you live in defeat. No free man should become a slave again to sin. Paul told the church at Rome in chapter 16, 20 of the book of Romans, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It is God's will that we live in the victory of the conquering Christ. And it's God's will that we live in the victory of this great assurance that not one single person among Christ's redeemed will ever be lost. That is the ultimate emphatic proof of the utter victory of the cross. Jesus says, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost. Let's just let that sink in. What could prove the victory of the cross more clearly? All that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Joshua, as we read this morning, wanted Israel to live under the shadow of the altar. He wanted Israel to know that all they enjoyed was because of grace, and grace was because of the altar. And that guaranteed their every victory. That's what he wanted them to grasp. My friend, the Lord Jesus wants you and me to grasp the very same thing. Let me sum it up like this. At the cross, we see God's grace at its fullest. We see God's power at its greatest. And we see God's promise at its clearest. Let us never forget this. The cross defeated Satan, purchased our salvation, and guaranteed our victory unto eternal life. Glory. Let us therefore live in the shadow of the cross. Let our lives be one unending reaction to Calvary. I can't put it any more simply or clearly than that. How am I to live the Christian life? How am I to enjoy the Christian life? How am I to fulfill all the ideals of the Christian life? One way, and one way only. And that is by living in the light and in the sight of the cross. May God indeed grant us that grace. As the old hymn put it, let it ever be our prayer, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Because that cross defeated Satan. That cross guarantees my victory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. We pray that thou wilt write it indelibly upon the fleshy tables of the heart. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt even through thy word today produce conviction of sin. And we pray that through thy word thou wilt produce a desire for Christ. O God, have mercy on sinners and save them. Have mercy on backsliders and restore them. Have mercy, O God, on thy saints, and grant us grace to live in the victory of the knowledge of Christ and His cross. Answer prayer. Part us with Thy very richest blessing. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. And may Thy grace, Thy mercy, and Thy peace abide ever with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.